Welcome to Action Phase. I'm your host, Tegan Keating. First of all, before I introduce this week's guest, I have some very exciting news. You can now get Action Phase on iTunes, which means you can easily download it onto your phone or your MP3 player or whatever it is that you use, and take it with you wherever you go. That's very exciting. You're no longer tethered to your computer to listen to Action Phase. It's super exciting. I'd love it if you would subscribe, and I would love it even more if you rated the podcast. It's not totally clear. This is what I was told. To get on the new and notable list on iTunes, iTunes doesn't tell what the formula is, but it seems to be related to having good ratings. So it'd be awesome if you would give me a rating, preferably a good one, thanks, and, you know, let me know what you think, because it'd be awesome if I could get on that front page of iTunes, so that way more people can hear the show. That'd be great. So, okay, other than that, this week I talk with Antonio Boone. He is, well, you know what? He does a really good job of it, explaining it, and we had a great time, so I'm not even going to say anything else. Antonio Boone is great. Hi, so I'm here with Antonio Boone, the program assistant at the Sweat Project at St. Christopher's Hospital for Children here in Philadelphia. Hi, Antonio.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tegan?
Good. I'm great. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
And it's lovely home.
Oh, thank you very much. So it's very colorful.
It is. But I like that. It's really eclectic and it's really fun. Like,
yeah.
It's nice. Love it.
There's a lot of stuff in here.
But it's cool. It's you.
Thanks. So let's jump right in because we've been talking already for a while.
Right. I know.
So tell me about the Sweat Project. Tell me about what you do. Like, give me your whole situation.
I'll give you my 30-second pitch that I try to give to some of the guys who are in the program.
Okay.
So the Sweat Project stands for Sexuality with Education and Truth Project. It's one of those fun public health acronyms. But it's a group level intervention for young men who have sex with men who are 18 to 30 years old and who are HIV positive. We operate out of 5 different care clinics in the Philadelphia area. So we are at Mazzoni, the Lack Center, Einstein Dorothy Mann Center, and the Partnership Comprehensive Care Practice. So at those 5 clinics, we hold 5 to 6 week sessions with a group of maybe, I'll say, 5 to 10 guys at each location throughout the year. And we talk about a number of things regarding HIV stigma, disclosure, I mean, just living with HIV, and trying to get these guys in a positive mindset, to deal with living with their status. And we introduce them to a community, because that's what Sweat kind of evolved into. Like, I try not to tell them it's a group, because I don't want to make it sound like it's AA for positive people. Because that's like
group therapy.
Turns people off, especially people who are younger. So I try to tell them it's a social network, and that's really what it is, because the guys, it's been going on for 2 years. I should have said that earlier.
Okay.
But it's going on for the last 2 years, and It's just rapidly evolved from this single-celled organism into this, you know, really complex and dynamic thing that has involved a lot of people, and it's impacted a lot of people's lives and impacted my life, because I was a part of the Sweat Project last summer, actually.
Oh, so, and then you were like, why don't you also hire me?
Yeah. I wish the conversation went that way, but it was a little bit smoother. So I'm not that smooth to say, like, hey, you know, hire me. But I was fortunate enough to be offered a position as the program assistant, and I'm doing something I love, and I'm helping a lot of people the way that the originators of this program helped me. So you were
one of the young men in the program.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about what that was like, because that's a really, you got to be in it, and now you get to be on the administrative side.
Yeah.
So that's a cool.
It's crazy.
So what was it like being in it?
Being in it, it was scary as hell the first day, because it was like, I wanted to do this thing, because I was diagnosed in December 5th, 2011. And I wanted to I just felt really isolated. And I knew there were other people who were dealing with it, and probably other people in my age group, because I did, you know, a lot of research. But there were no outlets that were, you know, heavily advertised to say, like, you know, come to this space where you can be safe and, you know, feel secure and talk about what's going on with you and hear other people's stories. So I'm in care at the Partnership Comprehensive Care Practice. Shout out to them.
Yep.
And during one of my first appointments, I met someone who was the previous coordinator of the program. And he told me about the program and the project. And he gave me some more information. And I said, you know, sign me up. Like, when do we start this? So
you were like all in from the beginning.
I was really proactive with my health. I tried to be, because that's the only thing I could do. Because I was... the day that I was diagnosed, funny story. I
had I'm sure hilarious.
I'll laugh at it now. Yes. So the day I was diagnosed, it was around finals time, and I went to Temple, and so it's a little after 11 after I was diagnosed, 11 a.m., and I had to submit a test online for this economics class that was like that economics class was just the headache of my life. So I was just really worried about this exam. So, you know, I had my moment after the nurse practitioner told me that, you know, your results came back positive. And I was like, okay, you know, I had my moment, had my little bit of an ugly cry. And then I said, okay, well, what do we do? What's next? Because I need to get this ball rolling. Is there medication you can give me right now? Is there something that we can do immediately?
Like right now, before I walk out the door?
Yes, like I wanted like pills or something, or some kind of information, someplace to go to get what I needed immediately, because I have an exam that needs to be done by 2 p.m. and I'm halfway through it. So, like, you know, we need to start this process. And then she got me linked up with people at the partnership, and they were there in like 10 minutes. Shout out to the Tanisa Franks at the partnership. She's a ninja. She made it from Broad and Vine to Temple in like 5 minutes.
On the
Broad Street line. I got a B on that exam. So yeah.
Congratulations.
But that's how I kind of came into SWEAT, because I met someone during one of my first medical appointments, Noelle Ramirez, who was the previous coordinator. And we went from there. Every time that SWEAT had something going on, I was there. You know, we have a steering committee that meets at the Office of HIV Planning on the first Monday of every month. And I was at every meeting. If there was like a social activity that SWEAT had put on, like maybe a dinner at Maggiano's or something like that, or a trip to AIDS Watch to lobby for HIV AIDS funding, you know, I went to everything that I could possibly go to, because I wanted to be as educated as I could be, because if I was educated, then maybe I could help someone else. And now I'm helping dozens of people with my job now, and I'm very grateful for it.
And hopefully you'll be helping even more people in the future.
Yeah.
So what's the process of, so you said it's a 5 to 6 week program. So what happens?
Okay. So when we first, I'll give you just an example, because we just started up a cycle of SWEAT at Einstein Healthcare Network. So we have referral agents at each of the 5 different care clinics. So the referral agents, we get in contact with them before the cycle actually starts, and we say, well, can you identify some guys who are at your clinic who are in the 18 to, like, we'll say 30-32 range, and identify them and send us their contact information. Make sure they're okay with you know, us receiving their information. Give them a little bit of information about the program, and if they're interested, send them our way. And you know, I'll give my 30-second pitch like I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll gauge their interest and see if they really want to, if they want to be a part of it. Or we'll go out to the actual clinics and engage the guys face-to-face, because we've seen that works a lot better, meeting someone, you know, on a personal level as opposed to over the phone or via email. So we've been doing that, and the guys, they come once they give us the information and things like that, and we meet up on probably on a given day throughout the week from about 5 to 7 or 4 to 6, depending on what works for that clinic. And we hold the sessions, and we just start. The first session that we have is, I'm going to try to remember the session titles right now. I look at these things every day, so you think I'll remember, but it's understanding HIV and introducing them to a community. So that's session 1.
So that's like clinical background as well as here are the people that you're going to be going through this process with. Okay.
Yeah. So we try to tell them that, you know,
I'm sorry, I got to interject. Do you find that people don't know very much about HIV?
A lot of the guys, they're pretty well informed on some of the basics, but the we found that some people who are newly diagnosed and who are in the infancy of their of dealing with their HIV status, that they may not know some of the basic information. So it's that's why we have medical providers come in on session mm-hmm. two, and they give like pretty much an HIV 101.
Okay.
It's slides that detail how the virus works, and we break it down so they can understand what's going on with their bodies, and they're allowed to ask questions like throughout the entire presentation with this experienced medical provider. So we do that at each session for at every cycle.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So like all at all.
Oh, I'm sorry, not each session.
Oh,
I'm
like...
sorry. We have one session dedicated to this. I misspoke. I apologize for that. Okay. But yeah, we have one session that's dedicated to towards HIV 101, pretty much, and mm-hmm. they're allowed to ask whatever questions pop up in their heads, and we try to push them to ask questions because it's rare that, well, not rare, but It's a really good opportunity to get information from experienced medical professionals who have been dealing with this virus and working with patients for a number of years. So they're really equipped to answer their questions.
And they're finally in a place where they know that it's safe. Like a doctor or a nurse practitioner or somebody is mm-hmm. not going to come to the SWEAT program and then be judgmental
exactly
about anything.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we really stress is it's a judgment-free zone. One of our rules is rule two is my favorite. One of the rules of SWEAT is it's a shade-free zone. So everybody always laughs. But it's really just so that we lay out, rules, and we give them tools for that we use and try to express throughout SWEAT so that they can feel safe, so they can know that this space that they're in, that these four walls and that the people who are surrounding them, that the information that they share, it's confidential. Like, we have the Vegas rule. So whatever's said in group, it doesn't go anywhere else but in that group. It's not talked about anywhere else because everyone respects everyone else's privacy, because the guys are going through a lot of their situations, they're similar. And so, no one's trying to backbite or throw shade or anything mm-hmm. like that. It's all, we try to foster a community at each time we're at these medical sites, so these guys can feel safe, so they can feel empowered, and then so they can feel, strong in spite of their status.
Right. Mm. And because that's only one part of who they are as
exactly.
a person.
Exactly. That's what we try to teach them, because a lot of people feel consumed. A lot of the guys, I know I did. I felt consumed by, this one thing, these three letters that
right.
it felt like they defined my life, and I know that they didn't, and they don't. So.
So how many guys are in the groups about?
At each cycle, it's about 5 to 10.
Okay.
In between 5 to 10. We try to keep them, we try to limit it at 10, because any time the groups get a little bit bigger than that, they're a little bit harder to contain, because, we have some guys who are a little bit shyer than the other ones, and you mm-hmm. have some
that are chatty.
Yeah. yes. Who are chatty, who are, very extroverted, and who, they're very extroverted, and we try to keep it contained at 10.
You weren't one of those chatty guys, were you?
I tried not to be. I thought I was, so, like, moments where I felt like, hey, Antonio, you're kind of talking a lot. Like, scale it back. So I'm not a chatterbox, really. I just try to keep it, play it cool. And, respond when I feel like I need to respond, and give information when I feel like I need to give information. So,
do you feel like the guys who you're recruiting to be a part of this, or who are already there, identify with you because you've been through the program also?
I've only been in this position for the last, I'll say, about 6 months or so. No one specifically said, Antonio, no one said said anything to me like that. But I would like to think that they do. Like, they feel a little bit more comfort with me because I have gone through the process, and I know kind of how it works. And now that I'm on both sides, it's like, I'm kind of looking out for their best interests, because their interests are my interests. We're a lot of the guys who are in the groups, like, we're close in age. I'm 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys who are in the program, like, they're close to my age range. So I feel like it's good to have a person in the room who they can relate to on a certain level, especially yeah. with this and talking about the things that they talk about. So sometimes in group, I may share some personal information about myself or you know, we'll engage in conversation before and after group and things like that. So I just try to make them feel as comfortable as they possibly can, because it's so scary walking into a room with a bunch of people who you don't know. And at this point, a lot of the guys, I may not have had the chance to meet them face to face. So when they walk into the room, they're meeting me for the first time.
Right.
And it's like, I just try to make them feel really comfortable. It can be really scary. It can be really nerve wracking. I know, because I felt those feelings my mm-hmm. first day at Sweat. It was really crazy.
Yeah.
But we try to, like I said before, we try to just provide them this space where they can feel safe and comfortable.
What's the, what's like the typical Sweat participant? Like, how old is he? What's his, like, is he in school, out of school? Like, what's his deal?
I don't know if we can put a,
okay,
put
there can like be a few thing. Of them, like a few of the typical, just to get a sense of who you're serving.
The guys, they're typically African-American or Latino.
Okay.
And like I said, they're from age ranges from 18 to their early 30s. And they're the regular everyday guy. And they're all gay or bisexual. They all identify as gay or bisexual.
Okay.
And if they don't, they're still, we classify it, you know, MSM.
Right. MSM. Right.
So those are the guys. I don't want to put a particular label on them, because it's like, I'm trying to think. I was trying to think of adjectives to use, but it's like every time I think of one, it's like another person will pop into my head. But
like,
they're all amazing. I'll say that. Every last single one of them is amazing and extremely and incredibly brave for doing what they do and coming to the groups. And even if they only come for one day, if they only come for one session, I still believe that they're incredibly brave for, you know, putting themselves kind of on the line with their with some of their personal information, because it's not easy for people to do that.
Yeah. I think that it's more telling that you can't
mm-hmm.
explain who it is, that it shows how diverse the HIV positive mm-hmm. population is, that you can't say, oh, it's exactly this type of person.
Right? That's something that we've never been able to do. Cause I think, someone asked me that question, that like a similar question like that in conversation one time. And it's like, well, I was in Sweat, and then it was a thing where a couple of guys were there. And I'm like, well, you saw us speak and you know who's in Sweat, and like, we're all really different people.
Right.
Like, we all kind of fall into like that 18 to 30 years old, YMSM. Like, we fall into that demographic, but beyond that, it's like, you know, we're different people, and this thing can happen to anybody. Anyone
right.
can become infected with HIV.
It's not hard.
It is not. It's very easy.
Yeah.
It's very, very
especially
easy.
Especially here in Philadelphia. I mean, not like it's not easy elsewhere, but mm-hmm. Philadelphia has a HIV problem.
Yeah, the epidemic here in Philadelphia is it's really serious, and I had no idea how serious it was. Like, when I was younger, when I first got to Philadelphia, my freshman year of college, way back when.
yes, you're so
it was,
old.
Yeah, I know, I feel like it sometimes. But I never really understood how serious the problem was, but once I was diagnosed, and I did some research, I did a lot of research, and I saw, like, I just looked at the numbers, and it's just, it's scary. It really is scary to see how quickly this thing spreads and how it takes no prisoners. And
And there's, you know, one of the things that I have been learning is that the like social circles
mm-hmm.
are really tough. Like, all it takes is one person in that social circle getting it, and eventually it's gonna spread around. So it's like not necessarily your friends
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like whoever, but the idea of it, of people becoming infected because people that they already know
mm-hmm.
are infected. And I think that that is a good opportunity for these guys in the Sweat program
mm-hmm.
to say, like, okay, well, now I'm educated and now I'm empowered. So now
right.
I can talk to people who are maybe doing risky behaviors. You know, I see that you are agreeing
yes.
with me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you took the words out of my mouth, because I thought you were going to stop. And then I was like, well, that's what we do in Sweat. Like, we try to, we really empower these guys. And the crazy thing, well, not the crazy thing is, but the amazing thing is, a lot of the guys who go through the program, if they know someone who is in a similar situation as them, like a friend of theirs, and they find out they're in that situation, they refer them to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's how we've gotten a few referrals since I've been there, because it's like people who are, I guess, Sweat alum, And they find out, like, oh, well, you know, they might call myself or my supervisor, LaToya Gates, and they'll say, like, well, a friend of mine is, you know, he just found out he was positive, and this, he needs something. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have anything, and his situation is crazy right now, and we know that, I know for a fact that, you know, you guys could help him out. So, and we do, and we try to educate the guys who have gone through the group and who are going through the group right now. So we want to make them leaders. That's another big part of SWEAT is it's a really big leadership development tool, and it cultivates, you know, a lot of the leadership skills that you may learn in other areas. But we do it right in that 5 weeks, and with our steering committee and things like that, and we just try to make them, you know, really powerful. We try mm-hmm. to show them that, you know, in spite of this thing, these three letters, that, you know, you can lead, you can help other people, you can be, you can command the attention of people around you, and you can help in this thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would imagine you guys talk about stigma a lot. So what can you maybe give me some insight into, like, what the stigma is, like, in Philadelphia? What, you know, like, what types of things people come up against mm-hmm. that could be problematic, and then, like, how you guys address it?
Mm-hmm. I know, well, what we try to address is the elimination of internal stigma and how to block external stigma. So internal stigma, do you mind if I just give it, like, a little
brief? Give okay, me a cool. lecture. Tell me all about it.
I feel like
it.
I do it all the time. Nope. Internal stigma. So it's internal stigma is they are the negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions that a positive person may feel about themselves in regards to their HIV status. External stigma is a little similar, but it's the negative actions and words that people may use to stigmatize a person living with HIV or somebody who is affected by HIV. So what we try to do is, you know, show them that you can be strong with in spite of stigma. Despite what people may say or people may think, you know, you can be powerful, and you know that there's no need for internal stigma, because your life is, it's not over. It's no need to feel ashamed. It's no need to feel down. It's no need to feel anything negative, because, you know, there are so many other things positive going on with your life. But the stigma in the city of Philadelphia, it's, I would like to think this is the idealist in me. Mm-hmm. I would like to think it's not as serious as it is in some places where there isn't a lot of ASOs to support the people who are positive. Mm-hmm. But it still is, like, a lot of people who a lot of personal stories that I've heard from some of the guys is that, like, you know, their families have shunned them, or they've done certain things, like, not allowed them. I've heard a story from someone who said they were not allowed to use the same utensils as other people in the house. Like, they, some,
really?
Yeah. Like, they might have, wow, like, you know how you have your regular silverware?
Yeah.
They would have to use, like, plastic and paper, plastic God. Forks and knives and spoons and paper plates and things like that. Because, or they might, someone told me that they were moving out of an apartment, and they explained to their landlord that, you know, what their situation was and their status. And they said, okay, well, that's fine, you're moving out, so it's okay, but just make sure you spray it down with bleach. You know,
what?
It's like stuff like that. It's because I think people are, and I don't think it's a thing that people are trying to be malicious. Like, a lot of the times, I don't think it's a thing that people are trying to be malicious or, you know, to really shame these people. They really just have no idea. Like, in my in my own family, like, when I disclosed my status, it was a thing, like, well, someone asked me, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Like, is everything wrong? Everything all right? Do you feel sick? I'm like, you just saw me 2 weeks ago. Because I'm from Baltimore.
Okay.
I'm from Baltimore. So my family, I go home, like, you know, periodically. And it was just like, are you okay? I'm like, you just saw me. We were cool. Everything looked fine, right?
I guess because those images of men dying in the mm-hmm. 80s, that's really what sticks with people. I mean, you and I weren't alive yet. And mm-hmm. those are still images that we both know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing that we really want to try to eliminate, because it's like, people can live long, healthy, and productive lives in spite of their HIV status. So it's not like I have to have, you know, my face doesn't need to be sunken. I don't have to have, you know, Kaposi sarcoma spots on my face or anything like that for you to guess that I'm sick, or for you to, you know, it doesn't need to be that way. So I think as long as we keep educating people, then stigma will be reduced. I would like to say that, you know, I would love to give you a date as to when stigma would end.
I would love for you to do that too.
I wish I could. I wish I could click my heels together and be like, you know, no more stigma.
Breaking news on Action Podcast. Stigma will end in 2015.
Fingers crossed. But, you know, say a prayer. But it's a lot more complicated than that. But I think in Philadelphia that there are a lot of amazing organizations doing extremely amazing work. And I think if we keep going that route, then, you know, hopefully it'll be a ripple effect. Hopefully Philadelphia and, you know, other cities who are really impacted, like, you know, like New York and even my hometown, Baltimore, who are really impacted by the epidemic, that they'll be able to, the ASOs in those cities, they'll be able to change, you know, a lot of things that are going on and change the conversations and, you know, enlighten a lot of people and educate people.
Is there any talk about doing a sweat like program for women?
You know what, people,
or always, for heterosexual men,
people always ask us that. And that the curriculum that was created and the curriculum that we've, like, you know, been altering and, you know, playing around with, it doesn't really include a space for heterosexual men, but or women. And no shade to because this is a shade free zone.
Yes, it is.
no shade to those the people in those who fall in those demographics. But their sweat specifically, there is no other program like it in the city.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like the person who created the program, Noel Ramirez, he saw in his place of work that there was a need for a space for young guys who were 18 to 30 years old who needed a space to talk, to vent these feelings and to work out the emotions that they were having in regards to their HIV status. So that's why the program was created. There are a number of amazing ASOs and programs in the city that cater towards women and, you know, to heterosexual men who are positive. But that's Sweat's niche, I guess, is just
yeah, and if nobody else is doing that,
yeah,
then
I mean, some people, important. Yeah, a lot of people have really good LGBT groups, but it's nothing that I've seen personally that that's really geared towards young MSM. And it's not, I like to think that Sweat is its you know, it's its own kind of thing. You know, it's its own brand of, you know, special.
Yeah. Have other cities talked to you about implementing Sweat there?
No, but that would be awesome.
Hey, like Baltimore.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Hey, New York. Yeah. Come on.
Like one of the Sweat alumni, he was saying that, you know, he wanted to see Sweat in like in other places. And I think it's something that's possible and something that's doable in the future. Right now, you know, we're still building our brand in Philadelphia and, you know, look out for, you know, in 2014 when we relaunch Sweat and other care sites with logos and things like that.
Ooh, yeah, logos.
Shiny stuff, right? Some swag. But yeah, so that would be awesome. That would be awesome to, you know, to see this dynamic thing launched in other cities. Because I think it's something that's necessary for guys. Maybe if it's not just like Sweat, but something like it in other cities, I think guys need that. So.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. sounds like it. If nobody's doing it in Philadelphia, right, except for you, that means that there's definitely mm-hmm. a need elsewhere.
Yeah. Definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about you now and what you do and your job and how you spend your days and pay your bills.
My bills. First of the month is coming. Don't remind me.
I know.
But so my job, what I do a lot of, what my coworkers will say and my bosses will say is that I'm kind of like I'm using air quotes right now, the mm-hmm. face of Sweat, I guess.
Aww, so like you're I'm the poster kind of, child.
Yeah, I am, and it's so weird. I'm kind of the first point of contact for a lot of the guys who are referred to our group. So on any promotional materials that you may see at any of the 5 care clinics that I mentioned earlier, my name and contact information is listed on there. So I do a lot of I do a lot of the outreach when the guys are referred, and I do a lot of the intake when they come in. I just try to support my supervisor in any way that I possibly can by, you know, trying to be a jack of all trades, trying like I mean, we you know, I help edit the curriculum and implement it that way. I'm also the lead facilitator during the sessions that we have because my supervisor, she always says this, and she hypes me up. But I'm the lead facilitator during the sessions. I help create a lot of the promotional materials that we do have and some of the content that's on the promotional materials. What do I do? I think I don't know. I try to do a lot of different things to try to keep the guys engaged. Just try to plan different social activities. I was just looking at some stuff earlier today for to try to get them engaged and keep them engaged. All of the records and everything regarding sweat, I manage that. Like intake forms and things like that, mm-hmm. and all the because we give out $10 gift card receipts when guys come in, so I manage that thing. Like I have a whole file cabinet next to my desk that's nothing but sweat. I just try to do a lot of different things, and yeah, we also have a podcast. Sweat also has a podcast. So
Sweat has a podcast. You should be listening to it.
Yeah, well, it hasn't launched yet, so that's the fun part.
Sweat is helping. Going to have a podcast.
We are. It's the Philly Pods Project. So and we call it My First Time. So that's kind of like my little project right now. One of my little projects.
Nice.
That I have right now. So it's that and a lot of just like a lot of general administrative stuff. That's what a lot of my work is composed of. A lot of general administrative stuff, and supporting my supervisor and making sure that Sweat is a well-oiled machine.
Because you have your degree's in journalism.
Yes.
So do you get to do any journalism-y type things?
I do some journalism-y type things. I do a lot of editing for curriculum stuff.
Like that's so important. Typos are the worst.
It is. It really is. And I've had a few. I'm a little rusty. But no, that's what I really try to do. I just try to, I edit a lot of stuff. I do some formatting with the curriculum on a lot of our documents. And I, like I said, promotional materials. So I help with that. And then the podcast. So that's fun. Like I have, when we do have podcasts, I kind of facilitate those. So that's fun. It's like I interview and try to just continue the conversation. Kind of like how we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Like I do that. So that's really fun. And
when is that going to start?
That's going to start. I don't want to give a date.
Well, are you 3 months away? Six months away?
We're not 3 months away, but we have, we've recorded, I want to say about four. Okay. We've recorded four episodes of the My First Time series. So it's like, I'll give an example is My First Time, My First Time disclosing my HIV status. So then we talk about disclosure.
Do you have multiple people on?
Mm-hmm, one. Yeah, it'll be myself, and then I'll be speaking, and then it may be another person with me or two other people with me. So we try to get, and they're all the guys are Sweat alum.
Okay.
So yeah, we try to get different perspectives from people who are active in Sweat and who are change makers in the city in regards to HIV, and give them a voice and another forum to express themselves.
That is fantastic, because the idea of sharing with people what it was like to do something like disclosing for the first time, you can reach people. The great thing about podcasting, and I've been saying this for a while, is that the reason why it's so great for public health is because you can talk about issues that people don't want to talk about face to face, because they can listen to it in the privacy of their own home, their earbuds on the Broad Street line, and nobody has to know what they're listening to.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing about it, especially with the guys, because confidentiality is that's the number one rule in Sweat. Shade free zone is number two.
Right.
But confidentiality is so important, and giving them this form, they don't have to go on camera and they can say whatever their name is or give an alias or something like that, but it still gives them a space to voice their opinions and to share how they feel and to share their experiences, so that someone else who was innocent or who was or is in a similar situation can learn from it and benefit from their experiences. So I think that's why we got the ball rolling on that. And I'll definitely let Tegan know when everything is launched.
Yeah.
So that we can, promote and support each other, because this is an excellent connection.
Yeah, because if there's, there's not a lot of other public health podcasts coming out of Philadelphia, so we should totally
which is weird. You would think, because Philly is such a big, an enormous, I didn't realize how huge the public health community is. Well, not huge, but how diverse and dynamic it is. And then the technology scene in Philly is big too.
Yeah.
So you think that a lot of people would be, doing more podcast, but I guess we got to get the revolution started. But,
yeah, and you know what? We can be the first couple, and so then everyone will look to us, and we'll suddenly become gurus of podcasting. I don't know. Something, I couldn't even find the mic cord today, so I don't think anyone's gonna be.
But we did find it. That's the important thing. That's the important thing.
So okay, so if somebody wants to get in touch with you or Sweat, give me all your contact info.
So if someone wanted to get in contact with me in regards to Sweat, they can call 215 215- 427-4387. That is my direct office number, Antonio Boone. That's my number. They can reach my supervisor. Her name is Latoya Gates. Her number is 215-427-4387. Or they can email us at sweat.project.philly@gmail.com. Or they can email me directly at Antonio, that's A-N-T-O-N-I-O dot B-O-O-N-E at DrexelMed, all one word, dot E-D-U. Yes.
Cool. And do you guys have a social media presence?
We do. Being special. So you can find us on you can find us on Twitter, The Sweat Project, and you can also find us on Facebook at Sweat Project Philly, and you can follow our like page from there, which is The Sweat Project. So yeah, you can find us on all of those platforms and things like that, and the podcast will be coming soon, I promise.
Awesome. Yes. Great. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was awesome.
You're welcome. He is pretty great. I was right, wasn't I? So this week's action item is actually one for the future. I want you to put something like in your phone or something like that to remind you to look for Sweat's podcast when it comes out. I think, you know, in a few weeks or a couple months or, you know, whenever it is. Figure out some kind of reminder. Listen to it, because I think that it's going to be fascinating for pretty much anybody who's interested in these kinds of issues to hear what these guys have to say about their lives, you know, whether that's HIV or something else, or who knows. So, that's your action item. As always, you can find me personally on Twitter at Tegan Keating, TEAGANKEATING. You can find me online at tegank.com. You can find Action Phase on iTunes. Yay, iTunes, rate us, subscribe. You can also find Action Phase on Twitter at actionphasepod and online at actionphasepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Stay warm, and I'll talk to you next week.